You're listening to Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
And a very pleasant good Saturday morning to you. Welcome into our first in-season football Coach's Corner program. It's right here on KLEM Radio and online at KLEM1410.com. Daniel Versteg with you. And our Coach's Corner program each and every Saturday morning is brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, Hy-Vee, as well as Iowa Barbecue Company, True Health Chiropractic, Ameriprise Financial, and Wilchin Brothers Construction. Well, week one of the high school football season has come and gone. Let's give you the rundown for our area, the listening area teams. We will give you those scores here right now. Starting in Class 8 player and in District 1, where Remsen St. Mary's took a regular season football loss for the first time since 2018. The Hawks had a tough go of it against Audubon last night, and the Wheelers get the win 64-18. That snaps a 48-game regular season winning streak for Remsen St. Mary's football. Very, very impressive mark that some teams would kill to have when it comes to their football programs. Also in Class 8 player football around the area, Kingsley Pearson on the road at the number one team in the state. Now that number one team in the state proved why. That'd be Bishop Garrigan defeating Kingsley Pearson 60-20. In 11-man football around the area, it was number 10-ranked Hinton downing Galen Catholic by a score of 32-12. The Blackhawks got up early in the first half and didn't relent. We'll for sure be chatting with Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler coming up in the program about that contest. Number 3-ranked MMCRU, they were big winners over Akron Westfield last night, 35-7. And then in Class 4A football, it was number 9-ranked Lamar's downing Council Bluffs A. Blinken on the road, 35-14. We're going to be talking about that game here real shortly with Lamar's community head coach Ken Vigdahl. So stay tuned for all of that. We've got plenty more on this program as well as we give you the rundown that you need to know as far as high school football games involving our our area teams. Looking ahead to this week here real quick, we'll mention this. We do have two games that we'll be broadcasting this week. One of them is volleyball. As our volleyball broadcast schedule gets underway, it is Sergeant Bluff Luton at Lamar's for a Missouri River Activities Conference volleyball matchup. That is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Of course, you can hear it right here on KLEM. Then Friday, our featured football game of the week, Galen Catholic at Sibley O'Cheadon. Jays and Generals both took a loss in non-district play last night, and they'll look to try and start district play on the right foot. That's a 7 o'clock kick. Of course, our coverage will start about 6:15 with the Radio Iowa Scouting Report. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back, and when we do, we'll have Lamar's community head football coach, Ken Vigdahl. He joins us on the other side of this 60-second break right here on KLEM Radio and the KLEM Coaches Corner.
Are you looking for local and dependable overhead door sales and service? Hi, my name is Adam, owner of Chapman Overhead Doors. We are excited to bring over 30 years of experience from the Spencer area to Lamar's and surrounding communities. Chapman Overhead Doors services all makes and models of commercial and residential garage doors. We sell only the highest quality Midland doors. Call Chapman Overhead Doors for a free quote today, 541-1179. That's 541-1179.
Our well-child exams cover athletic physicals, but they are so much more. In addition to physical needs of a child, we also focus on their emotional and social health. Let's face it, being a kid can be hard. At Floyd Valley Clinics, our providers work with families as a team to keep pediatric patients healthy and safe. Learn more about Floyd Valley Clinics at floydvalley.org. Your community, your health, your life. Floyd Valley Healthcare.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, we are back in the KLEM Coach's Corner. Week one of the high school football season has now come and gone, and it's time to recap it with some of our area coaches. And to get that started, we have Lamar's community head coach, Ken Vigdahl. After the Bulldogs were a victor by a score of 35-14 last night in a game that you heard here on KLEM Radio, watched on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. And in case you missed it, you can watch it again. We have it archived for you there on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel as well. Coach, first of all, I think you guys really had the opportunity to set the tone right away with that first possession offensively, and you certainly did that, getting down and scoring a touchdown early. How much did that, you know, set you guys up for success, give you guys the confidence to keep doing it in the first half?
Yeah, I think that's all part of that. You know what I mean? It's the very first drive of the very first game of your season, and you're kind of wondering what's going to happen, you know what I mean, before we go out there. And then all of a sudden, everything that we've coached, and these guys did a great job of you know, learning how our offense works. And Jamie and Tyson called a free choice on the backside. We're actually running another play besides that, but they obviously see something, and that's the freedom that they have. And you know what happened? You know, Jamie took a three-step, and Tyson got behind the defender, and before we know it, we scored.
Yeah, wow. It was a great way to get it started. You know, and the fact, too, was, gosh, it carried over defensively, too. Yes, they got down to around the 40-yard line, but when it mattered, at least in the first half anyway, you guys were able to really stand tall on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I really thought, you know, we kind of had that bend but don't break it mentality last night where, you know, that was a big back. He was a physical runner, and, you know, that quarterback was quick and shifty a little bit. And so, just like you said, they were able to drive the ball, get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plays. But then when we kind of got to an area in the field, we put our foot in the ground and said, that's all the further you're going. And they did a great job of stopping it.
You talked about you know, the freedom that Jamie and Tyson have, if they see something, to be able to, you know, say, make a play on it. You know, how much trust does that take from your staff, from you, and you know, from the other players around them that say, hey, they know what needs to happen to make a play successful?
Well, and it's not just Tyson and Jamie. It's Jamie making the decisions of a lot of different things, just like the zone read. Give or pull, you know what I mean? Or are we going to run a key one or a key two or you know, our bubble routes and things like that? That's all just – but that's all we practice, you know what I mean? It's we want to empower our kids to run the offense. We want to empower our kids to do their very best. And I think when you empower other people to do things, they take ownership, and it's important, and all of those things. And, you know, did we make mistakes last night? Yeah, we made mistakes offensively, and we made mistakes defensively. But, you know, it's not just them being told, you're doing this right, you're doing this wrong. It's like, you know, last night I said to a couple of offensive linemen, how do we want to handle this? So, you know, we want to empower our kids to be able to play the game of football, learn the game of football, just not run a play. You know, I probably spent 20 years saying, you're going to take a down step and you're going to get this guy every time, no matter what happens. But now it's kind of open. And I think in the day and the age that we have athletes and athletes that can do amazing things, even at the high school level, you got to let them use their positive energy to do what they do.
Ken Vigdahl's with us. He's the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. Bulldogs, a 35-14 winner last night over Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln. So, you know, I think, too, the, you know, obviously Jamie and Tyson get a lot of the credit for the three touchdowns you guys scored early in the game. But how much of that, too, was, you know, they weren't big plays, but you were able to get a bit of a running game going with Jamie, with Andrew, with Joaquin, with Christopher Sanchez. Those four seemingly carried the football pretty well for you, I thought, on the ground last night.
Yeah, and when, you know, there was a time they went down and we got, it was either deep or right after they scored in the first half there. We came back and we used a different kind of blocking scheme, and we got Andrew to the outside, and, you know, it was like boom, boom, boom. And before we know it, we're right down on the 10 going score, and we end up running that same play. We ran motion with it and ran a sweep to the other side, and, you know, Andrew's able, you know, fast, and he's able to, he kind of dipped in and dipped out like we talk about all the time, and he got to the edge and scored. So, you know, I think the one thing was we were – what I like about our offense is you have Tegan Bowe catching a touchdown pass. You have Tyson Odyssey catching a touchdown pass. Obviously, Jamie throwing the ball, but you have, you know, Andrew Grant being able to score from 10, 15 yards out, and you have Chris and Joaquin. They're kind of the pounders in the middle, so – we've got a variety of things going on there, but, you know, we just talked about a lot of group of great guys, but, You know, like I told them during the game in the first half, all our offensive linemen, to allow Jamie and all those guys to do their thing, they have to do their thing. And I thought, for the most part, we got some things to clean up offensively up front. But, you know, like one of Tyson's touchdown catches, we're running counter. Mm-hmm. And our counter blocked so well that Jamie was able to stand on his mark on that free choice and throw it to Tyson, you know. So all those guys do a great job, but we also know that it starts with the five guys up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they played a really good game, I thought, as you mentioned, too. But, you know, I'm just thinking back to those three plays you had with Tyson and Jamie. They were your biggest plays offensively from – not only the scoring perspective, but the yardage gained. Was it just so surprising that Tyson seemed to get more and more open with each one? It just seemed like he was running good enough routes or just was deceiving enough that it's almost like they forgot he was on the football field.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, the way that I kind of looked at it and the way we were kind of talking about it on the way home last night was, you know, the first one was inside zone. So that's pretty upfront man blocking for the, you know, for the offensive line. And it's not a secret. You know what I mean? The second one was the counter. And so when a defensive back and defensive backs get caught looking in the backfield all the time and defensive back looking in the backfield and you see a guard and a tackle pull, chances are it's not going to be a pass. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I think what ended up happening is that corner got stuck looking at the tackle pulling and goes, well, it's got to be counter coming my way. So he actually throws his feet and, you know, just like you said, Tyson was wide open. And then the third one was our leak play, a tight end crosser basically. And we were talking to your partner last night, Coach Davis, during the winter. And he was like, hey, we're running this play. And he goes, yeah, do you ever think about cutting it up the sideline once he gets so far? And we were like, we've never done that before. So he goes, hey, have him wheel up the sideline once he gets to a landmark. And so that's what we did. And you know, Tyson runs a crosser and up the field, and he's wide open.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you mentioning my partner, but now I know that I'm never going to hear the end of it, and that he gave you a play that worked really well last night.
You give me all the plays that work, Daniel, so there you go.
That works, absolutely. Ken Vigdahl's with us, head coach of Lamar's Community Football, 35-14 winner over Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln. You know, they get a touchdown in the first half. You guys were able to answer kind of in short time right before the break. But then, too, you know, the thing that I liked in the second half, while you guys were unable to score for whatever reason, it didn't feel like you guys were giving it up, mailing it in, which could have been easy, up three possessions in the second half of week one, you know, trying to save some energy for the rest of the season. How important was it for you guys to still come out with that intensity in the second half, even though you guys were up by 21 at that point?
You know, and you were there. The third quarter, you know, our defense really didn't get off the field, and our offense put three plays together, and then we're out and stuff. And so, like I talked to the kids last night, we got in the second half, we needed to play better complementary football. You know, defense, four or five plays, you got to get off the field. Offense, we can't get off the field at three. We got to get going to, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 plays and stuff like that. But the thing that I liked about it, even though that third quarter was kind of a lull, I would say, in the action, correct, when we kind of said, okay, tempo is a lot of different things anymore today in football. And so, like, we almost went to a no-huddle tempo, fast-paced call and fast-paced, and then we kind of drove right down there. And scored in the second half. And so, you know, I think we just had to change our mindset a little bit on, okay, we're up by two possessions or three possessions, and we're just going to, you know, go play football. We still have bigger things to do. We still have things to accomplish in the game that we want to look at on film and get ready for week two.
Well, and the other thing too, Coach, I have to imagine from your standpoint is you're going to keep that in the back of your mind and say, hey, you know what, if we're getting a little stale, maybe a little flat, just can't move the football like we did earlier on, let's kind of put a little giddy up in their step. Let's get quickly out of the huddle. And, you know, how effective, I guess, that can be for you guys, you know, moving forward in maybe closer games down the stretch.
Yeah, exactly. And we have, you know, we have our 2-minute offense, and we thought about running that at a particular time. And we have a three-play drive where, you know, we kind of have a big play at the end to see what happens and stuff like that. So we have that all built in. And kind of when we go our no-huddle fast pace, really we're lining up in probably a two-by-two and running inside zone with some type of an RPO and stuff just to get us moving and stuff. And I think once we do that, I think it also, A, the defense, if they're tired, or B, the defense gets a little bit of a panic of, hey, are we lined up right? Are they in the same formation? Are they not in the same formation? And things like that. So especially with these three fronts that you see with people trying to blitz with the A-gap blitzes and off the edge and things like that, you know, they have those five, you know, like we have five in the back end of our off or our defense. And so, you know, if they don't get aligned right, you know, another big play is going to come.
Again, Ken Vigdahl is with us, the head coach of Lamar's Community Football. 35-14 winners over Council Bluffs Abilene last night. I think I mentioned this going into the game with Gabe during our broadcast, and then as the game progressed, you know, yes, you guys gave up 14 points. You know, that's not bad, comparably speaking. I thought defensively you guys really showed some good things. Their quarterback was under 50% completion, roughly so. You forced a couple of turnovers, got some pressure. But what stood out most to you from a defensive standpoint in last night's game?
I think as the game kind of progressed, even though we gave up that touchdown late in the half or second half on a pass, I really thought that our pass coverage was really well last night. We got to get a little more pressure on the quarterback, I think. But I think all around, I just think our back five did a really great job of getting, you know, covering up. The quarterback didn't have a lot of places to throw. I think our two guys in the middle did a nice job of not getting up past the quarterback when he threw the ball. Because, you know, if you rush upfield and just take the easiest path, you're going to fly by him and he's going to step up in the pocket and, you know, make a completion and stuff. But I just thought our back five really did a nice job. And, you know, most of them are two-year starters. So, you know, that's kind of what we expect. So that was good to see that happened. You know, our edge rushers, you know, I think Andrew Grant, once he moved to defensive end there in a little bit, he's quick and fast and was able to get up and then back underneath the tackle and things like that. So there were a lot of different things, but just overall, the kind of what I talked about earlier is we bent, you know, to a certain point, but we really didn't break a whole lot. It's because they had the ball a couple times down inside the 20 and they came away with nothing. So that's always awesome to see out of your defense.
One player that stood out to me, continuing off the edge rusher kind of thought, I thought Nolan Grage really stepped up, especially early for you guys. I think he had a quarterback hurry, and he batted out a pass at the line and maybe had a tackle for loss early in the game too. I mean, I don't know how you do it, Coach, but it seems like you have good defensive ends just growing out of your ears sometimes over there with your program.
Yeah, Nolan did a great job too. We've been really impressed with him all year. Just his getting off the ball and using his rip technique to get past that tackle and stuff. And so we've just been fortunate, you know, what makes a, you know, you can coach them all you want, but great players are great players and they do the things that make them great players. So, you know, I thought Nolan's had a really good camp and has a really good finish to his camp kind of season here. And now we're into games. And so it was just awesome to see him do the things he did last night.
Well, Coach, it's a good way to start the year. You guys are 1-0, and now you get rewarded with the number one, number two, whatever poll you look at, one of the top teams in the state of Iowa this week. You mentioned the mistakes, and, you know, when we talked pregame, you wanted to see, if you're going to see mistakes, have them be very fixable mistakes. I feel like looking from the booth, there were a lot of fixable mistakes last night. What's it got to take to shore those up so you can play as clean a game coming up next Friday against a very worthy opponent?
Well, our biggest thing, defensively anyway, is we need to get them off of schedule. You know what they're going to do. I don't think it's going to be a secret what's going to happen, is they're going to turn around and hand the ball up to their running back. I mean, if you're going to Iowa, you know, obviously you have talent. He's a very talented runner, big, strong runner. To stay on schedule with him, they get 4 yards. You know, you can do the math. It's simple. 4 yards, 4 yards, you got a first down. You know what I mean? So, you know, we got to get them off schedule. We got to be physical up front. We can, and we're going to have to, you know, there was a big back last night. We got caught tackling high a little bit. So we got to definitely tackle low against Helan's running back here. And so that's something I'm sure we'll concentrate on. Offensively, we got to clean up, you know, mistakes up front and our steps and how long we're blocking. We kind of would get great contact last night, but we really didn't drive our feet. That's one thing we got to do is we got to play offense a little bit more on their side of the ball. And that's what we want to do. And then, you know, we just need to make sure that our receivers and our quarterback and our running back understands the game plan and where, you know, openings are going to be and where, you know, where the blitzes are coming from to help pick up and things like that. So, you know, like you said, I totally agree with you. I think the mistakes we made last night were, you know, first game mistakes. You know, we're high school football players, and so we are going to make them, and we just clean them up, and we just get better in our front five up front for offense. You know, the more they play together, the more they work together, the more they kind of understand, you know, everything. And you know, we look at it as, hey, there's five different guys, but I look at it as it is one group that has to almost be simultaneously working together. And so when that starts to happen, that'll be special, and we'll be able to, you know, continue to move the ball in the run game and the pass game. So that's, you know, right now we just have, like I told them last night on the bus on the way home, I thought we were tough last night. It was kind of humid, not super hot, but it was humid. But our toughness level needs to go up another notch for this Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup, but I'm looking forward to seeing if you guys can rise to the occasion. That's a 7 o'clock kick Friday night as the Bulldogs open their season at home at Jim Lorenzen Field. Coach, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Congrats on the win, and we'll be chatting next week.
Hey, thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. Ken Vigdahl is the head coach of Lamar's Community Football, the 1-0 Bulldogs after last night's win. We'll take a break. Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler joins us coming up next here on KLEM.
Put Nohava on the job and on your buildings. Nohava Construction doesn't just offer products to customers, they offer solutions. Their partnership with Duralast Roofing Incorporated allows them to deliver one of the most durable, maintenance-free, and high-performing roof systems in the industry. To top it off, Nohava Construction has been named an elite roofing specialist, which means your warranty is automatically guaranteed with any Nohava installation. Nohava Construction in Lamar's.
Get your gear for next week's games at Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's. Hi, this is Lori. We have a great selection of Bulldog and Jay's gear that will fit everyone, baby through adult 3X sizes. We have things like onesies, short sleeve and long sleeve t-shirts, sweatshirts, shorts, stocking caps, baseball caps. Stop in and check out our new styles and grab a stadium chair and a water bottle branded with your favorite team. Watch the games in comfort and style. Get Branded 360 Downtown Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
Well, we are back in the KLEM Coach's Corner on this Saturday morning after week one of the high school football season. And a great conversation with head coach Ken Vigdahl. Looking forward to a great conversation now as Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler joins us. The Jays took a tough week one loss to a very good Hinton team by a score of 32-12, and Coach Jeremy Schindler joins us. Coach, first of all, tell me about, you know, how things got started. They came out, got going early, it appeared. What wasn't there for you guys in the first half of the game?
Yeah, I think the big story of the first half is that they were just a more physical football team than us in the first half, and you know, it took us, I don't want to say by surprise, but some of our guys who haven't had a ton of varsity experience, the physicality of the varsity game kind of shocked them a little bit. And so, that was really, it was physicality and it was lack of execution on our part. They were the more physical team. They executed better than us in the first half.
And it is a tough team to, you know, throw varsity or junior varsity into varsity, making that transition the guys into. But, you know, at the end of the day, if these guys want to be varsity football players, they're going to need to be able to compete against Hinton. So I'm sure for you, while the outcome was not the way you wanted it to go, especially in the first half, it'll be a good measuring stick down the road to see how the guys respond and adapt to those kind of challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. You never want to lose football games. You never want to lose games. It's not fun. But you can learn a lot from a game like this. And I think if you look to the second half, the learning started in the second half, and the growing started in the second half. And it didn't wait till when we come back into film on Saturday, or when we get to practice on Monday and Tuesday. And no, we grew and we started to learn, and we saw a difference in the second half, and that was good to see. But there's definitely a lot to learn from a game like this, and that's what we want to play good teams. I think you can learn more from a game like this, playing a really good team who exposes some of your weaknesses and areas that you need to get better in, than you can if you play a team who's maybe not up to the competition that you'd like to see, and you beat them by 40 or 50 points. So we would rather play good football teams.
Looking at how things worked in the first half, from an offensive standpoint, it seemed like Hinton could kind of do what they wanted. We've kind of alluded to that, I guess, already. But what ultimately was leading to their success when it came to moving the football effectively on you guys?
Yeah, I mean, their quarterback's really good. he is just a fantastic athlete. He was able to break contain a couple times. They had a little read game going, whether it was power read or QB counter or zone read. So they had a design quarterback runs. They had QB scrambles that he was able to break contain. And then they do also have some big physical wide receivers, and he was able to throw a couple up to them, and they made plays on the football. So, I mean, they just really did an outstanding job of executing their game plan. And, again, it comes down to that physicality part. We weren't quite as physical as we needed to be at the point of attack, whether it was, from a defensive line standpoint or linebackers. And, just a lot to learn, a lot to clean up. And I thought the effort in the second half defensively was much better.
Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler joining us on the Coach's Corner following a tough 32-12 loss to the number 10 team in 1A, the Hinton Blackhawks. Hey, yeah, going into that second half then, I mean, the intensity, it could be tough to kind of get that out of your guys down 25-0 at the break. What was, the response from your guys, whether it was kind of, player to player or coach to player, whatever you had to do in the locker room to kind of get them, back on the right track and play a better second half of football?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Ellenzone challenged them at halftime to be more physical, and I think we responded with that. And I challenged us to execute better, whether that's offensively or defensively, really focus on what is your job that play, and do your job that play. And I think you saw it right away in the first drive when we came out. Nice long drive, sustained drive where we go down and score. And there was a play early on there where our running back gets hit about 5 or 6 yards downfield, and I see two of our big offensive linemen come in and just push the pile for an extra 2 or 3 yards. That's not stuff we were doing in the first half. Mm-hmm. There was that extra intensity. There was that extra oomph. And I really want to give credit to the big guys up front, because they responded to that challenge, especially early on in that first drive.
Looking at that first drive, you get Jack Roberts, a touchdown pass, finding Quentin Johnson there. And that was the, your first score there midway through the third quarter. I looked at, some of the stats that you compiled. It was a little tough to throw the football against Hinton. They're a really good defense. But it seemed like once you guys did complete passes, you were able to get some big gains off of it and have them be pretty impactful plays.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Jack settled into the game as it went along. This is his first varsity start as a quarterback. He's played a lot of football for us, a lot on the defensive side of the ball, playing as an outside linebacker and a cornerback the past couple of years in Coach Ellenzone's defense. So he does have that varsity experience, but it is a little bit different when you're the quarterback. And so I thought he settled into the game, especially in the second half, pretty well. We're not built to, as a team, we're not built to play from down 25. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to throw it all over the yard. But Jack Roberts does throw a really good football, and I think he gave his receivers, you know, the touchdown pass to Quentin Johnson. The outside linebacker came up to force Jack to make the throw. Quentin's wide open. Jack did a great job. Instead of panicking, you know, sometimes when those receivers are wide open, you short arm it or something. Mm-hmm. You know, he put the ball nice up and over the defender's long arms right into Quentin's hands. Perfect throw. You know, he was able to give Landon Knipe a chance on a deep ball. Mm-hmm. Landon won a 50-50 ball against their defender, and Landon is a very good contested catch maker for not being the biggest, strongest guy. I mean, he's 6'1". He's about 170, 175 pounds, so he's not huge, but he does a great job when the ball's in the air kind of going and getting it. And then, you know, on a fourth down, our last score of the game, Jack makes a, you know, kind of scrambles and extends the play and is able to find Grant Arns for, you know, a 15-yard touchdown pass on fourth and 10. So I thought he settled into the game and did some really good things. I also thought, you know, his ability to run the football, you know, I think he only had 9 yards total, but there was a 15-yard sack and I think an 18-yard sack in there. Yeah. So he really ran the ball a little bit more effectively, and we didn't ask him to run it a ton. But that's something I think we can build on, his ability to get outside the pocket and extend plays, and then when it's not there, get upfield and get what you can.
And piggybacking off of running the football, how did that maybe did it improve, I guess, as you got to the second half? Was that able to be something that you could rely on as the game goes along?
Yeah, I mean that whole first drive in the third quarter was, I mean, it was on the ground, it was on the ground, it was on the ground up until, you know, we throw the touchdown pass to Quentin. And then what they started to do, Hinton really made an adjustment, and they start to try and really load the box on us, and that was able to open up some of our, you know, some of our deeper balls to guys like Landon and Grant, who were able to make some plays in the passing game. It's going to be something that we're going to have to be able to do. Teams are going to load the box, and we're going to have to be able to complete the football, make complete passes, get first downs, and make big plays when the opportunity presents itself.
You know, one of the things that stands out to me, too, is you guys were able to at least force a turnover in there. You got an interception from Wyatt Coons, and you know, with what Hinton has been able to do throwing the football, not quite as much success last year, but that's certainly something they're building off of. That's got to be a good sign, too, that, you know, your secondary has proven already here in the first game to make plays.
Yeah, Wyatt had a great, you know, we were in our man under two deep coverage, and Wyatt did a great job of undercutting the route, and it gave us an extra possession in the at the end of the first half. There wasn't a whole heck of a lot of time for us to do something with it. I think there was only about 14 seconds left when that happened, but it was a great job to stop them, because we had just turned the ball over. We had a fumbled snap, and so then we were able to take it right back. So that was nice to see. And, you know, then after, it's not in the stat sheet, but after we scored that final touchdown of the game, you know, we stole another possession by recovering an onside kick. So really proud of the way that the guys continue to fight throughout the entire game, even when the first half was not what they wanted, was not what they expected. But again, it's a learning experience. We're going to grow from this.
Also wanted to highlight, you know, we talked about them at length, you know, leading up to the season with you, the guys up front, especially defensively. Boy, you know, Dane makes some plays for you, Mason Small, Kane Kearns, you know, all these guys that you'll be able to rely on. Talk about them and what they were dealing with, too. I mean, Hinton's, you know, always known for having a good line, too. So that was a kind of a good, tough matchup for them here in week one.
Yeah, you know, it's our big guy. There's such a discrepancy on our team between our I guess you'd call them the starters on our offensive line and then our scout team line. And the scout team guys try their butts off, man. But there's there's nothing replacing, you know, when you get a 250-pound guard or tackle blocking a kid that weighs, you know, 175, 180 pounds, you don't get the game-like simulation. And our scout guys, I'm not trying to pick on them. They try their hardest, and they do a great job. They got to go up against those big guys, and it's making them better each and every day. But, you know, we're going to have to get creative with how we practice and maybe do some things to get more good on good, just so that physicality isn't such a surprise to us. And again, I think this was a good little wake-up call. You know, we responded much better in the second half. And so, yeah, just got to find a way to start the game like that rather than start the second half like that.
Coach Schindler, again, Jeremy Schindler is with us, the head coach of Galen football. Again, that 32-12 loss to Hinton last night. Okay, so now, you know, you lose that first game, tough. Again, like we talked about, you never want to lose a football game, but I guess if you do lose one, a non-district game is certainly not the end of the world. But now you start district play on the road next week at Sibley Ocheyedan. They're also going to be coming off a loss, too, and by a decent margin as well. What are the things that have to be done to get ready for this week? And from a standpoint of, okay, everything that we didn't do right in the first half, shoring that up so that, you know, we can be ready to go right off the opening kickoff.
Yeah, I think it starts this morning with film and a good lift and just understanding, you know, hey, we were close on some things last night. We definitely have to clean up. We have to do the little things right on offense and defense, you know, making sure we stay square, making sure we're coming off on our linebackers, on our double teams, making sure we're lining up correctly according to the set that the offense is in, tackling well. It's a lot of little things, but those little things, as you know, add up to become really, really big things. And, you know, Sibley's was a really good football team last year. They're going to be a really good football team this year. So we have to have a great week of practice and preparation and really lock in and just be ready to go against a good football team.
Well, Coach, looking forward to seeing that game here next week. Appreciate your time as always. Best of luck, and we'll be chatting as we get ready for that contest.
Sounds good. Thanks, Daniel.
Absolutely. That is Galen Catholic head coach Jeremy Schindler as he joins us on the Coach's Corner following that 32-12 loss. Looks like coming up, we kind of had a change in the schedule today. We're going to have Remsen St. Mary's head coach Tim Osterman. He joins us coming up next here on KLEM.
Shop and save at your local Lamar's Hy-Vee food store. They're open 7 days a week from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for your convenience. You can start your day with a hot breakfast and fresh donuts in their dining room. Then enjoy a shopping experience that will meet all your needs for the days or weeks to come. Explore the meat market, the floral department, or the pharmacy. For whatever you need, discover red-hot deals at your local Lamar's Hy-Vee food store. And also check out additional daily specials on Facebook.
Are you craving mouth-watering barbecue? Head on over to Iowa Barbecue Company on Plymouth Street in Lamar's. They've got tender ribs, juicy chicken, succulent pork, and sausage smoked to perfection and served hot every Tuesday through Saturday. At Iowa Barbecue Company, you will get the freshest locally sourced meats and great sides such as house-made mac and cheese or coleslaw each and every day. The smoke is rolling every day to ensure you are getting some of the area's best quality and freshest Q around. Get to Iowa Barbecue Company today.
Discover wellness. Discover True Health Chiropractic Lamar's. Dr. Jared Langle and his wife Sarah look forward to helping you on your journey to true health with a holistic approach to chiropractic care. Dr. Jared will address the root cause of your symptoms and guide you through mindful movement and proper nutrition. And discover the health benefits and relaxation through infrared sauna sessions. Discover True Health Chiropractic across from Four Brothers, Lamar's.
Coach's Corner, live on 1410 AM, 96.9 FM, KLEM.
We're glad to be with you once again on the KLEM Coach's Corner this Saturday morning, and to keep talking all things week one of the high school football season, we're heading to eight-man football and chatting with the head coach of Remsen St. Mary's football, head coach Tim Osterman, after the Hawks. A really tough loss last night by a score of 64-18 to Audubon. Audubon, a playoff team from last year that the Hawks had to beat to get to the Unidome. and they bring back a ton of talent. Coach, first of all, we talked about it leading up to the season, the youth that you guys had, the number of positions that you guys were having to fill this year. Was there a little bit of a, you know, bit of a wake-up call from the step up in the standpoint of, you know, from a JV scout team level to now, okay, it's live and real, and this is varsity football?
Oh, yeah. No, I think the speed, and again, I give a lot of credit to Audubon. They are the real deal. You can see it from the jump. So, you know, again, our guys needed to see that. And this is a good wake-up call. This is a good demonstration of, you know, we can't just be like, you know, going through the motions of these things if you want to play at this level. And so it obviously gives you a lot of appreciation for what you had for 5, 6, 7, 8 years of what you could do year in and year out. And so, but this is just who we are as the program right now. We're young and we're going to learn a lot. And as we move forward, all these kids that are playing right now are going to see these things, and they're going to experience these things, and they're going to be better in week two than they were in week one, and they're going to be better in week three. And that's who we have to be. We just have to climb. We had some injuries last night. You know, Titan Waldschmidt ended up going down for us, and he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken collarbone. And, you know, we got Kinnick Moaning, who's down too. He's got a knee issue. We don't know the full extent of that yet. But, you know, we're kind of in a situation right now where we need to know where we're at and how many kids we got to work with and put together an offensive attack and get some people aligned on defense. But, you know, to answer your question, yeah, I think it's a big step up for our kids, and again, we'll rise to meet the challenge as we do as a program, and we'll do the best we can with the situation we're in, and then we'll go attack it.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys will certainly pick yourselves up. You know, let's kind of talk about the game briefly. You know, they scored early and often on you guys. What were some of the things that they were doing offensively that was just giving you guys a bit of trouble?
Yeah, and so, you know, when you replace defensive ends year over year, you know, it's tough to replace a kid like Colin Holman and a Mike linebacker like Brady Coink and safeties and outside linebackers. You know, Braxton Knipe and Brady Worth are probably two of the best to do it for us in terms of outside linebackers. So when you're training new kids and what their reads are and how fast these reads are going to happen, you know, it wasn't anything that they hadn't seen all week, but it's the speed at which they were doing it. And it was also a scenario of, you know, safety's not getting into the run game because all they did was run. They didn't honestly throw the ball outside of a couple times. And that was probably fair to us. I mean, if they did that, it probably would have been tough on us too. But, you know, we need the guys to fit the run game. And we have some smaller, younger guys out there that just they don't know how fast and how physical they have to play to stay at this level. So again, they were just running simple sweep, counter sweep, sweep, counter sweep. They really didn't run anything up the middle. You know, they had worked all offseason really on trying to get this ground game going to the outside. You could tell, you know, just how crisp they were and what their offensive attack was. You know, and we just had all sort of fit issues, and that's the kind of stuff we're going to go back and look at in film and just say, hey, this is what's going to happen if you don't do these things right and if you don't play with the speed and the effort that you have to. You know, and then defensively, actually, you know, I didn't really see it when we were going against it, but, you know, when I go back and watch the film, they were running a lot of our defense. I mean, that's just what they were doing. You know, and I suppose that's a little bit of an homage to us, but, I mean, they were running our defense and doing a really high level. So, you know, kudos to them. And again, I think we just need to do a better job of doing certain things, and we'll get it cleaned up, and we'll see what we get out of week two.
I guess if there is a bright spot and some of the things you did do better, again, we're chatting with Tim Osterman, head coach of Remsen St. Mary's football. The three times you did score, they came on passing plays. You know, talk about that aspect of your offense. How did you see that maybe get better or progress, even from start of the game to final whistle?
Yeah, you know, we brought in Ryan Hayek this year to be on a part of our staff. And so we have Ryan Gallis, who's been the play caller for me for 4 years. And so now we have these guys that are, you know, pretty experienced on putting together offensive game plans. And so, you know, pretty early on, we kind of knew that our pass protection was pretty okay. We knew Dalton, the quarterback, could make throws. He could make lots of different throws, and he could do it on time. And actually, you know, Bo Johnson is actually, you know, he's 6'2". He can run like a deer, and, you know, you kind of get singled up on man coverage like we were last night. And I think Coach Hyatt called a couple of pretty good pass patterns for him, and Dalton put it on him. So, you know, and again, you know, we have a real young offensive line, and they had a lot of tough moments last night against some really, really good defensive linemen. But, you know, in terms of pass protection, they had some really good moments, and those are the ones we scored on. And, you know, and again, it's not going to be perfect, but, you know, you kind of take it away in that passing game. It was like, yeah, we hit some easy throws, those routine throws, and then we were able to have a few throws down the field, and that's what you need in terms of offense. Now we got to go find a run game, and then we'll go from there.
You know, in chatting with a few coaches here leading up to week one, preseason, all that kind of good stuff, you know, a lot of them, and I'm sure you say the same thing, if you make a mistake in, you know, how you line up or how you run a route, that's fixable. But obviously the things you can't fix are the effort and the intensity. And, yes, there was a running clock in the second half, but I'm sure it had to you know, make you happy that – hey, the guys didn't give up. They didn't mail it in that fourth quarter. Got a few scores after being down 40-6 at the end of the first quarter. You know, still showed that, hey, we're here to play 48 minutes. We're going to, you know, make the most of it as much as we can.
Yeah, and like I said, I think they were far more physical, far more aggressive, had far more depth, you know, all those different aspects of things. And so when we talk about the effort on our kids, it certainly is one of those situations where you would have liked them to come out and play a little bit harder, but I think they were shell-shocked after an easy touchdown and then a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Then they're just like, oh, my gosh, this is harder than we think. Yeah, this is really hard. This is all the little things that you have to put together. So, you know, we can fix effort, right? We can continue to push effort. We can continue to push those things. Sometimes, you know, speed's just one of those things and size is one of those things that you just can't deal with. And, you know, and just you got to keep putting together schemes that you think can help your guys out. And, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, you try to preach effort, you try to preach the never quit. And I thought our guys said, you know, really answer your point. Yeah, I thought our guys did a good job of just trying to stay positive, trying to stay within themselves. And they continue to make mistakes. There was continually things that they couldn't fix. That, you know, like I said, we have to go back to the drawing board and make sure that they see what, hey, this is the issue. And then, yeah, and then we'll see from there. But again, a lot of these things are correctable, and some of these things are just like, you guys are young. You know, next year will be a different year. The year after that will be a completely different year in terms of your guys' confidence and what you can do. So, yeah, it was a tough loss last night, but hopefully we can, again, fix those things and we can move forward.
Yeah, and the GTRA is on tap next week, a team that put together a good score and a good win last night as well on their own right. How do you go about, what is the next step here this week in practice to go about correcting some of those things?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of it's going to be watching film today and making sure, okay, you know, making this note, make this. And the one nice thing is, you know, Audubon only ran a couple formations, so it's not like we have to, like, fix a lot of different things, but you know, and a lot of it, you know, we have a couple players go down, there's a few players that are still out, so I mean, we're down four players off of a 17-man roster. We're down to 13, you know, and that's assuming that, you know, nobody else is dinged up that I haven't found out about yet. But regardless, you know, we're trying to come back, and we have to come up with a offensive scheme with the guys that we have left, and then we have to come up with, you know, the defensive positions, and unfortunately that means maybe you have to put freshmen out there, which, I, you know, right, wrong, indifferent. I mean, at least they're getting experience, right? At least they're playing. That means the next year and the year after that, they have all that much more time with it. But, yeah, this week's just going to be about correcting the little things and then going back to some of the basics. I mean, that's just who we're going to be this year, because these kids are JV kids, right? And so you're just trying to correct those things and do it over and over and over again. And then – yeah, and then put together an offensive game plan that you think can score a few points. And really what you're just looking for is that, you know, we improve the tackling, we improve the fits. Can we get GTRA to, you know, snap the ball a few more times and maybe get an opportunity for a turnover or something like that? But, we just have to improve those things. And again, we'll look forward to the opportunity and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing if you guys – can bounce back well this week. Coach, thanks for joining us after a tough loss. Appreciate it. Best of luck this week. Continued health for you guys, and we'll chat soon.
Hey, appreciate it, Daniel. Thanks to Clem, and go Hawks.
Absolutely. That is Tim Osterman, head coach of Remsen St. Mary's football after a tough loss last night. We'll take a break and wrap up the Coach's Corner coming up next here on KLEM.
Ameriprise Financial, with Mike Ruland, Ross Ruland, and Sam Van Wettering, are proud of our local athletes. Talk with Mike, Ross, or Sam about how you can set up and reach your financial goals today and tomorrow. Wilchin Brothers Construction in Lamars is the perfect contractor for any commercial remodel or new construction project. Call Wilchin Brothers in Lamars at 546-4135. You have big plans for your next build? You want a company that stays on budget and schedule while doing quality work? Call Wilchin Brothers General Contractor and Construction Management Services for peace of mind while awaiting your dream building.
Corner live on 1410 AM 96.9 FM KLEM.
Well, the KLEM Coaches Corner each and every Saturday morning on KLEM Radio throughout the high school football season is proudly brought to you by Chapman Overhead Doors, Floyd Valley Healthcare, Nohava Construction, Get Branded 360, as well as Hy-Vee, Iowa Barbecue Company, True Health Chiropractic, Ameriprise Financial, and Wilchin Brothers Construction. Well, my thanks once again to our coaches for joining us today. Lamar's Community Head Coach Ken Vigdahl, Galen Catholic Head Coach Jeremy Schindler, and Remsen St. Mary's Head Coach Tim Osterman. It is always a treat to chat with all three of those fine gentlemen, along with all of our other coaches that we will bring on throughout the week as well. Well, let's take a look at what's ahead for our high school football teams. We will take a look at the schedule for this coming Friday and start in Class 8 player in District 1, where district play begins as Remsen St. Mary's heads to GTRA. And we just chatted with Tim Osterman about that matchup. Going to be a tough contest for the Hawks. We'll see if they can get the job done. Now, as of right now, Kingsley Pearson is scheduled to be at Siouxland Christian playing in River Valley on Friday night. We'll keep our eyes and ears peeled for that. Siouxland Christian did forfeit their game last night at halftime after being down 60-0. So we'll see. Hopefully nothing major, more than just the fact that they were losing badly. But that is something to keep an eye on. But Kingsley Pearson is scheduled to play Siouxland Christian next Friday. In Class A, District 1, it is MMCRU. They are hosting, they are at Hinton, excuse me. That's going to be a good ranked matchup. The Royals ranked number 3 this past week. Hinton ranked number 10. I'm sure Hinton will climb a little bit. MMCRU might get up a bit, but that'll be a good non-district finale for the Royals. District play starts for Galen Catholic at Sibley O'Cheadon. We have that game for you right here on KLEM with a stream as well on the KLEM Radio YouTube channel. Akron Westfield gets district play started at home. They're going to host Westwood in Class A District 8. And then in non-district play for Lamar's Community, could be another ranked matchup. It should be another ranked matchup. The Lamar's Community, ranked number 9 this week, got a win. They take on the number 1 team in Class 3A, Bishop Heelan, also coming off a win. That game will be at Jim Lorenzen Field in Lamar's Community Stadium coming up at 7 o'clock on Friday. And, of course, once all those games are done, we'll have recaps for you. We'll have scores. We'll have coaches' interviews. All that kind of good stuff will be coming up throughout the week on KLEM Radio as well. Well, a great first show. Looking forward to another great week, and we'll remind you again of our broadcast schedule. We mentioned Galen and Sibley O'Cheadon as our football broadcast Friday night, but our volleyball schedule gets started Thursday night, and the Bulldog volleyball team has a tough home opener in Missouri for Activities Conference action. The number 2 ranked Sergeant Bluff Luton Warriors will come to town. That might change. We'll see if the Warriors drop a bit. They do have a loss already, but that's going to be a tough matchup for the Bulldogs. We'll have that for you on air here on KLEM Radio starting around 6:45 with pregame, and first serve will be at 7 o'clock. Well, again, that'll do it for another edition of the KLEM Coaches Corner. Thanks so much for tuning in. For all of us at KLEM Radio and for KLEM Sports, I'm Daniel Versteeg, and have a great rest of your weekend.